Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday service, June the 6th, lockdown 3, Sunday 7, service 2 today. We are glad to see you here. We have had our two granddaughters with us for sleepovers. Clara wanted a sleepover, and Abby, of course, joined with her. So they were over Friday evening. I think they stayed up most of the night. They were pretty tired Saturday, but in the pool all day long and everything. So they're going home today. Well, no, with the two of them, it's pretty quiet anyways. But they're not coming until 11:30 this morning. So that's why they're missing here this morning. But I'm glad to see you here in service this morning. Welcome. This is first Sunday of the month, so we will be remembering the Lord around the table with our communion. And as is our habit, we're going to stand and sing Psalm 34:3 on the wall there to begin our service. So I invite you to stand and let us sing. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. And let us exalt his name together. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Thank you. Good singing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence this morning. We are thankful to you for gathering us together in our church sanctuary to worship you, to fellowship one with the other, to hear your word, and just to be an encouragement to each other in these still very strange and difficult days. I pray that you would bless in our service this morning. I ask that you might minister to us all in our hearts and in our souls, our minds, through your word and through the contact that we have with each other. We want to ask that everything that we think, do, and say this morning in terms of worship will be pleasing in thy sight, and that thy name will be glorified above all else. So thank you for bringing us together here, and I pray that you'll bless in our service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. 262 in your hymn book, Holy, Holy, Holy. Yes, you have to stand up and move to get your hymn book. We'll sing just the first three verses. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, with which word and art and evermore shalt be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful men thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Thank you. Good singing, great hymn, isn't it? Holy, holy, holy. Let me invite you to take your Bibles now and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. One of the great chapters in our Bible. Number of excellent principles that are given to us for things to set aside, things to embrace in our lives as Christians. We're going to read verses 1 through 17 this morning. You can follow along as we do that. Colossians 3. The Apostle Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, pens these words, beginning in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And we'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Just to note one thing said here in verse 4. When Christ, who is our what? Our life. He is our life. We're going to talk about the fact that Jesus is the life in just a few moments. But keep that verse in mind. When he appears, then shall ye appear also with him in glory. Announcements are in the bulletin. You have, if you're here in the sanctuary, you have one in your hand. It's also posted online on the church website. You can read it there if you don't have one. The 9:30 Bible study by Joe Scott, normally in our Sunday Bible school hour, it's also posted on the church website. So if you are interested to listen to Joe's study, then that is already there for you. Wednesday, regular prayer meetings, 10:30 in the morning or 7 o'clock. So we've got room for more. If you want to come along to prayer meeting, you are most welcome to attend at the circle. Some of you from Old Central will remember Harry Aiken, Ted and Bonnie Aiken, and Ted's dad, Harry. I got a call, middle of last week, to say that they were putting his dad in palliative care at St. Joseph's Hospice. And I got a call yesterday, or an email yesterday, from Ted to say that his dad passed away Saturday afternoon. He's 100 years old. He turned 100 earlier this year. So he's lived a good, long life. Wonderful, wonderful man. Ted said that his dad thought the world of me. I wouldn't have known or understood that, but that's what Ted said. And because Pastor Robinson's not here, he said the next choice for doing his funeral was me. So we'll be conducting the funeral service for Harry Aiken on Wednesday at 1 o'clock out of Millard George. And I think there's visitation, 1 hour of visitation at 7 o'clock at the funeral home, but it has to be in groups of 8. So I'm not sure how that's going to work out. But if you're interested at all in visiting with the family, that's when that will happen. So I would appreciate your prayers for Wednesday, particularly at the funeral time. I remember a few times that Ted would bring his dad around when we were over at 277, and a couple of times when we were here, just for a chat. And he would drop in, and we would chit-chat for a bit, and then off they would go on wherever they were going. He was always a delightful individual. And some of you may have known him longer than I ever did, but I'm honored to be able to do the service. There are no change in meeting restrictions for us as a church yet. Last week, we thought that Doug Ford was going to be making an announcement to move step one up a week. Well, that didn't happen. Rather, Dr. Williams, who is retiring sometime soon, he had his little meeting on Thursday and said that there was some concern about this new variant coming in out of India, and that now was not the time to move anything forward. And so it sounded like at that point, and then Doug Ford never came out with his own little table talk last week, but I heard that he's supposed to give some kind of an announcement tomorrow, Monday. Whether that means moving it up a bit or not, I really don't know. I can't figure anything out anymore. All I know is that even with step one, it's not going to change our restrictions. We'll still be 10 people indoors. And step two will give us 15%. And if they move step one up a week, that means step two gets moved up a week. Maybe they'll move that up closer. I don't know. But it sure sounds like they're setting us up for another fourth wave and lockdown. But we'll have to wait and see. So let's just be patient, and we'll work with what we're doing right now with our three services on Sunday and Wednesday prayer meetings, and trust that those will be helpful for you to keep us together until such time as we are all back together. If you have offering this morning, the plates are here at the front of the room. You can put your offerings in there before you leave, if you haven't already put it in. That's all that we'll mention by way of announcements, and we'll just trust the Lord to continue to guide, direct us in the days ahead. Now, I'm going to invite you to stand again. We're going to sing our prayer chorus. The words are in the bulletin. It will be worth it all. We're going to hang on to this prayer chorus until we're actually all back together, and then we'll have a new one to sing. But words are in the bulletin if you need them. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Thank you. You may be seated. Because this is a Communion Sunday, we are working our way through the I Am statements of the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John. And the last two times we've been here in John 14, verse 6, if you want to open up your Bibles to that verse, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So a couple of months ago we looked at I am the way. Last time we looked at I am the truth. And so this morning we want to zero in on the statement, I am the life. This is actually the sixth of seven I am statements that the Lord Jesus made. And we are glad to be able to muse a little bit on the statement, I am the life. The beginning of our Bible, we read this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. On day six, God created man in His own image and after His own likeness. Male and female, we're told, that God created them. That's Genesis 1, 26 and 27. In chapter 2, it is revealed that Adam was formed from the dust of the earth, and God breathed into this man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Not just a lump of clay, but a living soul. Chapter 2, verse 7. The breath of life, the word life in the Hebrew text is plural. We could understand it to be the breath of lives. What would it have been that God breathed into Adam's nostrils? Well, it was the breath that gave him soul life or physical life, as well as a breath that gave him spiritual life. We know that man is a tripart being from the scriptures. We are spirit, soul, and body, three parts. And it would seem that after God formed that clay on the ground and He breathed into Adam's nostrils, that He imparted both physical life as well as spiritual life. The Hebrew word for life here, or soul, is nephesh, and it means a breathing creature. So while you're breathing, you're alive, so to speak. At the end of day six, after God had finished His creative work, He said, this is all very good. And then He moved to the seventh day, and He rested on the seventh day, blessed it as a day for rest. After God had created Adam, he saw that it was not good that the man should be alone. There was nothing comparable to him in the garden, no animals or anything. And so God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. He took one of his ribs, and from that rib, God made a woman. God brought this woman to Adam. Her name was Eve, because she's the mother of all living. And this is the first ever marriage covenant, Adam and Eve brought together by God in a marriage covenant where the two becomes one flesh, and God said, you be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Adam and Eve were one together, and became the first ever parents, I believe, in the Garden of Eden, and then beyond that. Adam and Eve were alive. They were living beings, human beings, spirit, soul, body. They were innocent. They were sinless. They walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening when the Lord came to fellowship with them in the garden. The garden had the tree of life in the midst of it that they had access to and could eat from the fruit. But there was another tree in this garden that Adam and Eve were warned to not eat of its fruit, because the day that they would eat of that fruit, they would surely die, or Hebrew literally is dying, you will die. And that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they were told to stay away and not eat from that. But one day, the devil came to Eve in the garden in the form of a serpent. And he deceived Eve by his subtle and smooth lies to eat that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And after Eve ate it, she gave some to Adam, and he ate it too. And at that very moment, everything changed. Everything changed. Sin had now entered into the world through Adam's disobedience. There was a loss of innocence. Fear came into their experience. Shame also became part of their character. Immediately, they were cut off from the life that they had with God. They were still breathing, and so they had physical life, but at that moment, spiritually, they were cut off from God. They died spiritually, no life spiritually, even though they continued to live physically. Adam lived to be about 930 years old. But the process of his decay began that moment that he ate the fruit. They were now dead in trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians 2:1. Now they only had physical life, but it would soon come to an end too. They were spiritually dead and separated from God. How tragic, how awful, and how sad. And perhaps the greater sadness is that all of us who are descendants of Adam and Eve have all inherited that fallen nature, that sinful nature from him. And unless something happens, we are all always going to be in the throes of death. And if we don't do anything about sin, then we will perish for eternity. Adam and Eve only had the physical life. They now are dead spiritually to God. But God, as he cursed the woman, the serpent, and the ground, also provided hope. In Genesis 3:15, he told of a redeemer, the seed of a woman who would bruise the head of the serpent. That seed of the woman is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth from heaven about 4,000 years after Adam and Eve had sinned and the promise of the seed of the woman was given. 4,000 years. That promise had been in effect and waiting for the time that Christ would come. And also in the garden, God graciously put Adam and Eve out of the garden so that they could not have access to the tree of life. Remember, he put an angel with a flaming sword to guard the way to the garden, so that Adam and Eve or anybody else could not have access to the tree of life. Supposing that, our understanding would be, that if they ate from the tree of life in their sinful condition, there would be no hope of ever being saved from their sins. They would be lost forever. And so God was kind and gracious, wasn't he? to kick them out of the garden so they wouldn't have access to that tree. And then down through the ages, God continued to provide for man's deliverance from sin. God is merciful and gracious always. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he continued to provide for man's deliverance from sin. The requirement was to believe what God had said. And the perfect example of all of that is Abraham. Paul picked up on that in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, when he said that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. His believing what God had said in Abraham's case was that Abraham was going to have a son by Sarah and that they would call his name Isaac. Hebrews calls Isaac Abraham's only begotten son. It wasn't his only son, because he had Ishmael from Hagar. But Isaac would be his only begotten son because that son came from the relationship between Abraham and Sarah, and it was God's promise that this would happen. And so Abraham is the perfect example of how one can be right with God, and that is to believe what God has said, right? Simply believe what he has said. All those who believe God in the Old Testament were counted as saints and the redeemed. Now, when they died physically, because they had been redeemed by God, because they believed what he said, they would go, their bodies would go on the ground, but the soul and spirit would go into Abraham's bosom, it's called, or paradise. Remember the thief on the cross? Lord said to Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's Abraham's bosom. And if you recall the story that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus, you know that the grave, Hebrew Sheol, is composed of two compartments. On one side is hell, the other side is Abraham's bosom or paradise. The rich man went into hell and was tormented in the flames. Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom and was at peace, finally, in paradise. And the rich man said to Abraham, send Lazarus over with some water, because my tongue's burning in this flame. And they said that they could obviously see each other, communicate somehow, but Abraham said, it's not possible. We can't come over to you. You can't come over to us. Besides, there's a great gulf fixed between. But there in the grave, in Sheol, there were the two compartments that Jesus talked about, hell and paradise, or Abraham's bosom. And all those Old Testament saints went to Abraham's bosom if they had believed God. Moses wrote this in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Remember, Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. He could see it, and he instructed the people that were going to cross over into the promised land this way. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth, Moses says, to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. And life would come when Israel believed Jehovah God and worshipped and served him alone. Unfortunately, in the history of Israel, they didn't do a very good job at any of that. They liked to leave the Lord and go worship idols and other gods of nations around them. But here, as they're entering into the promised land, the principle was choose life. And life comes by believing God. Of course, all of this in the Old Testament looked forward to the coming of the Redeemer, the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he came. And then he came. John 1, verses 1 through 5 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4 says, in him was life, the thing that everybody was missing because of sin. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 10 down to 17, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. There's a clue here, a hint, that life, at least life with God himself, is available. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John, that's John the Baptist, bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the life. It is possible to become sons of God, to have God's life in us when we receive the Lord Jesus as Savior, when we believe on him who is God come in the flesh. Jesus himself said in John chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Right? So the promise, life was taken in the garden when Adam and Eve ate that fruit and sinned. They died spiritually and put themselves and all of us in a process of physical death. Now we get, 70 years, and if by reason of strength we get to 80 years, they're all days full of trouble, this text says. But Adam lived to be a good long age, with the promise that life, spiritual life, relationship with God the Father, would be possible by means of faith, trust, and belief of God's Word. And now the Redeemer has come. He is the life. He has come to give life. The Lord Jesus, according to John 3:16, when we put our faith and trust in him, he gives us the gift of eternal life. So life that you can have now by faith in Christ, that's going to last forever. No end. Just try and think about that if you can. So the Lord Jesus gives us eternal life. He quickens our dead spirit and makes us alive unto God. We don't have time to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. But there in the gist of it, God has quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sins. That is, he's made us alive. How did he do that? It was by grace, through faith, that we are saved. Not of ourselves, not of works, not lest any man should boast. So we are born again when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we become alive spiritually and sons and daughters of God Almighty. John summarized it this way in 1 John 5:11 and 12. This is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And if you don't have life that comes from God through faith in Christ, and you die in your sins, you will perish, which means to be destroyed eternally. It's not to be, not cease to exist, but to eternally be destroyed in destruction. And that's obviously in a place called hell, and ultimately in this lake of fire, which is the second death. So our world has suffered all along with no eternal life, no relationship with God because of sin. And we are all sinners. None of us has lived up to the glory of God. We're all sinners, dead in sin. But Christ has come in fulfillment of the promise in Genesis 3:15 of the seed of the woman. When he came, he was life, and he has come to give life to those who would believe in him. And if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, then you have life as well, a spiritual life as well as a physical life. Now, the physical part of things is going to come to an end sooner or later. We all hope for the rapture, of course, that would happen before physical death would come. But that's inevitable just because the body is still unredeemed. Our body won't be redeemed until the day of resurrection, which is the same time as the rapture of the church. And so we can have life if we trust in Christ. And Jesus summarizes it all this way by saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." He is the life. He came to give us life by the sacrifice of his own life on the cross. And by faith in Christ, we know that we have eternal life. Now, when you go to the back of the book, and we're not going to turn there just because our time's well gone, there are three things mentioned in Revelation 21 and 22 that relate to this life that is ours. In Revelation 22, John writes about the tree of life. Remember the tree that was in the middle of the garden that God barred anybody from having access to? Not sure where it went in the days of the flood, but the whole earth was in upheaval at the time of Noah's flood. But lo and behold, in the new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem, the tree of life reappears. And we're told that the tree of life is for the healing of the nations. I'm not sure what will be the benefit and blessing of the tree of life for us who are saved and redeemed saints in glory. I guess we'll have to wait and find out what will be the blessings for the tree of life, that fruit. In Revelation 22:17 and 21 verse 6, it talks about the water of life. There's a stream that will flow out of the throne of God, and they are called the waters of life, once again, to give spiritual help for our thirst that we may have. The water of life, it will run freely. You can help yourself to that anytime you want when we get into the eternal state. And then lastly, thirdly, in Revelation 20, verse 12 and 15, 21, verse 27, and 22, verse 19, it talks about the book of life. Anyone whose name was not found in the book of life at the great white throne judgment would be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your name's in the book of life. It will be found there. It will not be erased. We're going to do a message sometime on the books that are going to be opened before God at the judgment seat. And what is this book of life? How do you get your name in it? And what's those verses mean when it talks about wiping out a name, removing a name out of the book? Well, that's another sermon. So we'll look forward to that. But just know today and rejoice and be glad in the fact that Christ has come and given us life. And now we have access to the Father, our Heavenly Father, today. And we will have that access forever because we have been made alive through our faith in Christ. And for that, we want to praise and thank him forever for giving us that blessing and privilege. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us these statements by which we may be assured of our eternal life that we have that you have given to us by our faith and trust in thyself. Thank you so much for that which you have done on our behalf, and we pray that you will plant your word deeply into our hearts and minds and help us to carefully think on those things, and then to live in the newness of life that you have given to us. We pray for your help to do just that in the days ahead. Bless in the rest of our service just now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to remember the Lord around the table this morning, and I'm going to get Dan to give me a hand to distribute to you the elements. Just a reminder from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 that we need to do some self-examination, make sure that we are eating and drinking in a worthy manner, and that the Lord would be honored as we remember him through this ordinance, eating the bread and drinking the cup. So we're just going to have a word of prayer. You can pray in self-examination quietly on your own, and then we will distribute the elements to you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you. Trust that all that we have said and have done has been pleasing in thy sight. And now as we take a few moments to remember our Savior around this table, we want to say thank you to you for your love for us and sending your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to the cross, bearing our sins upon thy own body on the tree and shedding your blood on our behalf. We thank you for the bread, which is a symbol for us of the body of Christ that bore our sins to the tree and suffered under the just punishment of God's righteous hand for our sins on himself. We thank you for the cup, a symbol for us of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, who shed that blood for the remission of our sins. And we thank you, Lord, for the provision of salvation that you have given to us through the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Savior. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, you were willing to suffer on the cross for us and in our place, that we might have life in your name through faith. Bless in these next few moments, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll get Dan to come up. Thank you for your participation this morning. We're going to close our service with singing 202, Amazing Grace. You can stay seated, and Dan will come by with a basket to collect your glass, your cups. 202, Amazing Grace. Just stay seated, and let's sing. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. And let's stand together for verse 5. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Thank you for being here today. I hope that you have a nice rest of the day. Try to find some place cool and stay there. Jump in a pool if you have one. We'll look forward to seeing you all at prayer meeting if you're able, or next Sunday here in the church. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, again for this morning. We trust that our worship of you has been acceptable and pleasing in thy sight and been a help for us in our own walk with thyself. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our life and for giving us eternal life and restoring to us, making us alive in spirit, that we might have that relationship with the Father through faith in thyself. Help us to go and to walk in that newness of life from this day forward. I ask that you'll dismiss us now with your blessing. Watch over us until we meet again. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. We are dismissed.